just the end of a perfect day.
How did you and Lily meet other women?
We didn't have to meet other women because you, when you're in this life, you know everybody, and everybody knows you.
You have little secret codes.
Well, you can call it secret codes if you want. I wouldn't go to your house if I figured that you wasn't in the life. See, if you wasn't a lesbian, I wouldn't bother with you.
Did you ever worry that you might make mistakes?
No, I didn't make no mistakes. I didn't have to make a mistake. I started when I was too young. See, I started liking women when I was, I guess I was 11, 10, maybe earlier than that. Because I remember when I was 7 years old, my grandmother gave me a birthday party. And them days, old people were funny. Grandmother, I lived in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. And there, my grandmother had chickens, hogs, little sheep, little dog, little bit of everything, you know? And I was supposed to be a big shot. Folks are, that you girls have a whole lot, see. So, I had all these kids to come to the party. So I took half of them, the girls, and went off into the woods. They wait and eat ice cream and cake, me laying down on the ground, they're talking. I went to school too. So with me, I've been liking them all my life.
How you first heard about homosexuals or lesbians or something before you knew what you were. Had you ever heard, did other people talk about them besides people in the life, the word?
Did I ever hear? I don't know. I can't say that too well. I've been one thing all my life, so naturally, and the people I met up was the same type of people. I never went in with the what you all call now straight people. Because when you do, you get yourself in trouble. Well, I tried that here about a year ago and got myself in trouble. So I don't do that anymore.
When you were younger, you didn't really involve yourself at all with any kind of straight activities, but how did they react to you?
Well, I guess they thought that I, you know, but they were older women, and they knew that I must have known what I was doing because I was living with Lillian, and she was supposed to be my wife. So that was
it. At that time, there was a lot of what they call role playing, so that if you played husband, she played wife. Did you just pick that up, or did you ever think about doing it differently?
I didn't pick nothing up, because if you're seeing somebody that you like, why, you know you had passion for them, you know.
Was there any time that you can recall that you had any conflict with the police and that you attribute to being lesbian?
Well, that means that I got in trouble with them, a couple of times, but they was, you go into a house, you ain't supposed to go there.
What kind of house?
I have a narrow escape.
What kind of house was this made?
Well, I don't know if it was somebody who was saying they're having a party, Bulldogger's party. Mm-hmm. See? And they always were lucky I got out. Mm-hmm.
So you never got caught. The party?
They bust the party, and I'm out on the outside looking at everybody else.
So you never got arrested?
Mm-hmm. Never got arrested for that.
Uh-huh. What were you doing during World War II?
World or two, I was tangled up with, tangled up with a whole lot of political.
Hold on one second, could you, Mabel?
Hmm?
Can you hold on one second?
Yeah.
You're doing great. Mabel, don't, one time, I heard you talking about parties that used to, or parties that got raided and they arrested people, lesbians and prostitute charges,
yeah,
as a harassment. When we get the camera going, would you ask that, would you tell that story?
Yeah.
Do you remember it and why they did that to you? Cause that, and what, and when you tell the story, can you try and say what year it was, like in the 30s or the 20s or whenever it happened?
No, that was in the, the last thing she asked me.
About the prostitution.
How did you know about that?
Because a friend of mine did a videotape of you up at the archives.
I thank you.
And she told me.
You got to be careful what you say.
I feel like I'm auditioning for that doctor's book, you know? I feel like I'm auditioning for the cover of the doctor's book.
Why don't you get yourself a stool or something, huh?
No, it's okay.
Take the pillow. You want another pillow?
Yeah, I can get a stool from the kitchen.
Hey, I just don't want to be two more cramped.
You can get a stool from the kitchen.
No,
you listen, you want another one of those pillows?
Look, why don't you sit on this for a minute? See if you can't get yourself.
Is it too high for her?
Just sit on this.
So, Mabel, hold this for me a second. I got to do the same thing again.
Okay.
You just hold it there. That's good. One second. Okay. Thank you.
Is that better?
Much better. My back.
Take the pillow. Take the pillow and put up on the stool. And you can lean back on the pillow. There's a little pillows there.
Good thing, Mabel.
Yeah, there you are.
Now, you don't have to say that you were part of the raid if you don't want to, but
well,
the reason we like it is because we have to...
You can put it on somebody else.
Yeah, we have to show how
Never mind.
We want to say why...
I'll tell it. That was a peculiar story. I lived in 122nd Street.
Wait a second, don't tell me yet. I couldn't hear it.
Yeah. Can you sit on that one?
No.
Oh, look at that. Oh, boy. What's on there? There's nothing on there.
It's being taped now.
Oh,
this is
okay.
You.
Okay.
Does anybody need soda water?
No, I have water. Thank you. You want some water?
Ready?
You want some water?
No. Water. You want water, soda, go to the icebox.
Let's move your chair over as close to the lens as we can get it here.
Better?
Jan has turned into a barbecue chicken.
Oh, that is great.
think she's sitting in the car.
Oh, she's great.
I think she's scared. She's in the South Bronx. Jan's sitting down in the car.
Is she down there with her white pants?
She got on black pants.
Oh, where's the one with the white pants?
She's in the living room.
Oh, that one. She's in the living room.
You like that one in the white pants, right?
No, who's the black pants? Did I see her too?
Yeah, she came up, but then she went back down to sit in the car with the rest of the equipment.
Oh, she don't like my drunk. I ain't gonna bother.
Why don't we get Mabel a thing that's just a wiper
brow? Okay, ready?
Back in her a little bit.
Okay. There's a Kleenex beside the bed.
We'll be right back.
It startled me for a minute. It's okay. I was looking and then I went, right. Oh.
What also happened was that I was doing something else.
Right.
And probably went,
yeah, right.
Did you get your hair done in Jamaica?
I did it myself.
Did you?
Yeah, this is 2.5 years worth of growth.
Yeah.
Oh.
We've made you sweat there, maybe. You might want to wipe
your
forehead.
Yeah.
Right up by your hairline, if you don't mind. There we go. Good.
Now you want to start that other thing.
Yeah.
This was before you met Lillian, yeah.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Okay. So, a girlfriend that I've been going with lives in Jersey City. So, she went around with the boys, with the fellas. So this night we went to cabaret, and we call them cabarets, and a couple of fellas there, and they talked to us. And we got ready to go home, they brought us back. I was living in 123rd Street. So this fella says, I'll take you girls out to dinner tomorrow evening, and you'll be home. So I said yes, because she's going to stay all night with me. He said, all right. So I made a point with these fellas. Well, at that time, you don't want to be seen running around too much with women, you know. You break it off a little bit. So when he come, I told him that when he come the next night that I couldn't go, that I had to go over to Jersey to see my aunt. He said, what time will you be back?
I said,
pretty early. He said, well, then I'll come and take you and the girlfriend out to dinner. So, we talked over it. So he says, boy, I like that guy. He's nice. I guess so. I was liking her, so I wasn't interested in who she liked. So he came back. When he came back, he brought another fella with him. See, that's the same story I told this girl. Brought another fella with him. So strange thing about him, I noticed about the guy, he had never seen it before. He had a belt on, and this belt, a watch was made into this belt. And I said, oh, man, that's funny. Never forgot it. So he says, this is my friend, I brought him along. So kid says, all right. So I was already dressed, so we started out. As we started out, the door opened. So there stood two great big men and a cop. So I said, what do you want? So he says, raiding the houses for what reason? He says, prostitution. So what's that? He said, well, meantime, the man with the watch went right out the door. See, he went right out. If those at that time, now, at that time, there was a lot of men, they would go to work and set these women up, see, and they would get paid from, and they got paid them through the cops. They were stool pigeons. They were known as stool pigeons. I had no dealings with them because I was messed up with too many women to know what they were up to. So the cop says, well, we'll have to take you down. I didn't know nobody. Okay, I went along with him. And they booked you. So I began to think. I says, now something is fishy here. What am I going to do? I didn't want nobody to know anything about it. So I had plenty of friends, but I didn't want them to know. I didn't want the people to know that I was working for nobody. So I changed the name. So stayed in overnight, this girl and I. Don't see the man. See him no more. We made the party. We was going to the cabaret. I could have called plenty of my friends, both white and public, but I didn't want them to know anything about it. So I was so speechless, I didn't know what to say. So when the case come up the next morning, see, here's the click to it. The case came up the next morning. He stayed overnight. Next morning, we went before Gene Norris. Judge then. Very striking white woman. Beautiful. Long hair. So he looked at him and said, it's a damn shame that she's a judge. So she says, why did you bring the men up to the party? The other girl didn't ask nothing of me. I says, I didn't bring them up. They said they wanted to take us to the house for dinner. Didn't you know them? No. Well, I'll give you a chance to, I'll give you time to remember the next time. Anybody said they were going to take you out to dinner. She assigned me to Bedford. See, I was older than the other girl. The Bedford Hills. I don't know, no, I was speechless still. I wouldn't let nobody know nothing. Nobody didn't know it, where I was, how I disappeared. So I began to ask people up there about the man with the watch. And tells me, well, you are lucky because he sent his own mother up. He sent his mother. He's getting paid for it. The judge, the cops, all them is in the cuckoo together. And that's what he made his living, going around getting new girls off the street. And you see, he's nice and talk to you, carry out the dump. Next thing you know, he'll walk in with the cop, take you up.
How long were you at Bedford?
Well, I didn't stay there hardly any time. I stayed there about, well, let's see, almost a year. Good behavior. I was too good.
Did you think that you being the lesbian had anything to do with why they...
I met all the lesbians. I met them all.
Do you think the guy set you up because you were a lesbian?
No. He didn't know nothing about it. He was getting paid for it. That was his job, to get his white or black. He'd get you.
Mm-hmm. What kind of... There were a lot of lesbians in the prison?
It was full of them. There was plenty of them. And I had a good time. we made whiskey, we made wine, and I just had a ball.
Uh-huh.
I had a ball, so.
How How could you have a ball in the prison?
It was nothing for you to do, but we had parties there. Each night you slept with a different woman if you wanted to. So with me, I was having a ball. So finally, they sent a woman to interview me. And I told her the same story. So she said, well, you had no business up here. She says, now I'm going to tell you, that man has been, I think he was killed. Somebody killed him. He sent his wife up. He sent his mother. He set them all up. Money. And how I knew it was the same guy. He wore a belt with a watch on it. So now I've got to get out of this place. So I get in with one of the women there. That's a long story. Well, anyhow, she says, I'll see that you get out. So, she was very nice. I told her fortune one night. We were sitting there. And 3 days later, the whole thing came out again, just like I told you. She says, I'll see that you get out of here. So, within a week's time, that year, I came out.
What year was this? Around what year was that?
I think I was 19.
You were young.
Sure, I was young. He wasn't catching no old folks. He was catching young people. See. And so I come out and I went to Jersey City. In the meantime, this woman got me out now. I became very friendly. She had a beautiful car. She gave me clothes. And I just had a lovely time. I went to Jersey City. There Mrs. Woman's name, Brown, I think her name was. Joan has one of the pictures. And this woman used to bring this car up to the door, pick me up. Well, Mama didn't like that so much, you know. Mama didn't care for that, so she didn't know why she was struggling to pick me up. Take me to New York and all like that. She said, I'll have to report you. So she said, well, don't do it anymore. I didn't pay any attention because the girl got me a room. A nice room. Stay all night. Well, Mrs. Found out that I was staying out all night. She called back to the place and told them that I was staying out. But the Joan has this girl's picture. She heard the woman telling it, calling on the phone telling it.
She called Bedford.
She was there at the time. And she told me and this other people. And we packed everything I had up, clothes and all, got in the car and went back to Bedford. I'll do you if I can. We went back to Bedford. And now I'm supposed to have skipped. I'm supposed to go into New York. I've skipped, you see. And you do your full time. My full time was 3 years. So, and that was just about 6 months.
Shouldn't have changed the film.
There's the white pants.
There she is.
There's the white pants.
She's sleeping.
We kept her up at a party till about 5 o'clock last night.
Shame on you. I know you're tired. You're near the end now?
Yeah.
Sort of. No, you're the first today. Here's your...
Please. I meant that thing. And B, whoopee, 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 six. You should have played that thing.
What's this?
I didn't see back here.
Yeah, you just hold that up for me.
Oh, excuse me.
Okay, hold on one second.
World War II.
Oh, everything.
That's it? Good enough?
Yeah, okay. Around the time.
Ready?
Yeah, why don't we take it and put it down and take it.
So, she came and got me at 7 o'clock in the morning. So, can't think of the woman's name, said mine. She says, where are you going? I said, I'm going to New York. She says, don't you know if I tell your supervisor what you're doing, you're going to New York, they're going to make you go back and stay. I said, okay, I'm going. So, you better take my chair.
I want to ask you again about World War II. I understand you were air raid warden during World War II.
Yeah, I was air raid warden. I ran for.
Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I didn't mean to interrupt you. So that's after I left here. After I left the, got out from there, I didn't have to do no more time. The woman came up there 2 days later, and I'm sitting out there. I met up with another girl, and we had a party. We made wine and stuff, had a big party. So nobody knew I was up there but the head supervisor. So this woman came to report that I was missing. So she says, oh yeah, how long has she been missing? Been missing for a couple of weeks. She knew it was a lie. So she says, well, you better go and see if you can find some more of the people to see who's up there. And I'm sitting out in the yard with shorts, so. When she seen me, she didn't know what to say. She says, Mabel, I'll take you out of here myself. I don't have to come back anymore. I says, thank you. So then I breezed on back to New York. And in a show, had a good time from there.
Tell me about some of the entertainers that you knew or saw during like the 20s or 30s in Harlem. There were a lot of clubs, a lot of singers that used to come up.
Well, I met quite a few singers, mostly all of them, like Ethel Waters and Mamie Smith Hunter. And all of them.
Did you know if any of them were in the life?
Did they know I was in the
life? No, were any of them?
They were all in there. I wouldn't have been meeting them if they hadn't have been in there, because I wouldn't bother nobody. And of course, I'd do more bothering with straight people now than I ever did in my life.
So who were some of the people, some of the other singers that you met?
Met so many that I can't hardly think about them now. But some of them, like Mamie Smith and all of them, they just passed away, you know, and you forget them. And then after I hooked up with Lillian, I changed altogether. I didn't go to no clubs or nothing. We had private parties in our home.
Yeah.
And in their home, I met different people. That didn't want to be known, and yet they were doing the same thing.
After you left dancing and the parties and whatnot, you went to work doing what?
Well, then I started working in a hospital, and I stayed in that hospital for 18, 19 years. We all just have private parties, you know. See? And we would, we'd have a couple of people around here now that I was friendly with at that time.
So tell me about World War II, your experience.
Well, that was,
what year was that?
I can't hardly remember the year. I got some things somewhere. But anyhow, I ran for an office, political office.